This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Have you seen the new sitcom News Radio? It's not so much about broadcasting as it is about working in a fast-paced, high-pressured office. Of course, this office may have more than its share of backstabbing and secret romances. In a moment, we'll meet the show's writer, creator, and executive producer, Paul Sims. Phil Hartman, formerly of Saturday Night Live, plays the news anchor. Dave Foley, formerly of Kids in the Hall, plays the news director. In last week's episode, the third in the series, a new smoke-free ordinance forces anchor Phil Hartman to try to quit. In the spirit of solidarity, news director Dave Foley offers to give up coffee. Here they are after one night of abstinence.
Morning, Chief.
Morning, Bill.
So?
Nope. I haven't had a drop of coffee. You smoked?
Not at all. How you feeling?
Well, I have a pounding headache and my arms feel like they're about 12 feet long. But other than that, I feel fine. You?
I've been better. Coughed up something that looked like escargot this morning. Well, I guess that's a good sign.
News Radio's creator, Paul Sims, used to write for the Harvard Lampoon, Spy Magazine, Late Night with David Letterman, and The Larry Sanders Show. He told me why he wanted to create a sitcom set in a high-pressured office.
There's a lot of shows right now that are all about people's leisure time. And when I watch Seinfeld, I love it. When I watch some of those other shows, I just think, you know, that does not resemble my life in any way. I work 12 or 14 hours a day. The important things that happen in my life, whether it's, you know, a birthday or breaking up with a girlfriend or getting a promotion, they all happen at work. I mean, that's where, the people, my friends and I spend most of our time. I don't know what it's like to have the kind of lifestyle where you hang around a coffee shop all day and then go for a walk and then rent some videos and then hang out and just rap about who's dating who.
In the series opener, a new news director is hired, mm-hmm. and he comes in to find out that his predecessor doesn't know that he's been fired. Mm-hmm. So the new news director's first job is to fire the guy he's supposed to be replacing. Have you ever come across something like that in real life?
Actually, situations similar to that two or three times, yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, well, I work out in Hollywood, so nothing venal or greedy is remarkable. Now, the other thing I thought that was interesting about that episode was that it was the new news director was a younger guy, and there's something sad and very difficult about a younger person having to fire an older person. But I think it's something that a lot of, especially ambitious younger people in the workplace end up having to do these days, and it's horrible.
In the second episode.
Yes.
Of radio news. You know, there's
news radio.
News radio, I'm sorry. There's sexual tension between the woman who thinks she should have been promoted to news director and the mm-hmm. new news director. There have been whole series that have been, that have run for months or years on the kind of sexual tension between two people who work together and are trying to not actually get together. So here you are in the separate episode. Why'd you decide to do that?
So much of what I wanted to do with this show was defined by what I didn't want it to be. Mm-hmm. I was saying about the pace, I didn't want it to have a leisurely pace because I'm tired of seeing that. The other thing was, I think, you know, whenever you do anyone doing a romance on a sitcom, the natural way to go is will they or won't they, and this tension and the battle and all that. I think Cheers did that and did it better than anyone else, and you can't do it anymore.
News Radio has a laugh track. Did you want that?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have a laugh. It has a live audience.
Oh, it's a live audience. Okay.
Yeah.
You never know.
I know. Well, it drives me crazy because it does, because we still haven't gotten that right the way it's recorded. But no, I wanted, after working at Larry Sanders, I wanted to do a show in front of a studio audience, because I used to work at Late Night with David Letterman, and I loved the excitement of having a live audience there and hearing the actual response. So I wanted a live audience. The way we do the show is that we bring the audience in and they watch a tape of the pilot, and then we perform the entire show like a play. Unless there's a technical problem, we don't stop and go back and, you know, try to do something differently with the audience sitting there. We go straight through the show once in front of the audience, and then the audience leaves, and then we go back and pick up whatever, you know, mistakes we needed to fix. But
And then you use the laughs from the original audience.
Yeah, we use the laughs from the original audience. And actually, we use most of the actual performance in front of the original audience. The only time it's different is recently with more of the episodes, we've been, after we see it in front of the audience, then we sort of rewrite it on its feet to fix things that we felt were confusing or didn't quite work. But I am frustrated because, you know, those are real laughs on there. But when you see it on TV, it just, you assume it's, you know, to me it sounds fake even. So I don't know what the answer to that is. You know, and then every once in a while you get a bad audience, which so far for us hasn't meant a dead audience. It's not laughing, but we had one episode where it was very frustrating because I guess it was it sounded like a lot of frat guys or something in the audience, and everything that even mildly resembled a sexual joke or something, they would hoot and scream and holler, and, you know, so then you have to find a way of erasing that.
Paul Sims is my guest. He's the creator of the new sitcom News Radio. You used to work on the Larry Sanders Show. What was it like to write episodes around real people who would be invited on to play themselves? Did you often strike out in convincing the real person to come on as themselves?
Yeah, you know, relentlessly. We would always... it's odd. Some of them were so, you know, so enthusiastic about it. It was great. Like Alec Baldwin actually called Gary himself, and Sharon Stone did the same thing, and Letterman did the same thing. I mean, they didn't call Gary, but some people were just very, you know, got the show and were excited about doing it. In other cases, we would go through six people before we found someone that would do it. And, you know, not all of it was people playing themselves. A lot of it was about availability. But once you got someone who would do the show, a celebrity who would do the show, they were all, almost to a person, had no objections about doing anything. They were happy to play themselves. I think the way Gary works with them helped a lot, and that they would rehearse the scenes and ad-lib and you know, come up with something that felt natural for the person. And I think a lot of those actors, you know, enjoyed having that much input into what they were doing.
So before you worked with Gary Shandling, you worked on The Letterman Show.
Yeah.
Give me a sense of what it was like behind the scenes in the office. I mean, it's a daily show, a lot of pressure.
It was a very high pressure office, but also there is a very comfortable routine to it. You know, at exactly 4:30 every day, the top 10 list had to be finished. At exactly 5, Dave would go downstairs. At exactly 5:30, the show would start. At 6:30, it would be over. I mean, there was never any, you know, delay of anything. And then from 6:45 till midnight, we would sit in a room and try to write stuff.
Did the Conan O'Brien show give a lot of writers ideas that they should have their own shows too?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think, you know, it's weird. I think with TV writers, there are two kinds of TV writers, to make a gross oversimplification. They're the kinds who are performers and enjoy talking and enjoy, you know, coming up with stuff verbally. And then they're the ones that are writers who enjoy sitting alone in a room and just writing everything down. And I mean, you can tell any show you go to, you can, you know, the balance is about 50-50. I don't know. I think there's probably at least 3,000 or 4,000 TV writers in Hollywood who think they should have their own show.
Right. So which kind of writer are you? The kind of guy who writes alone or in a group?
Nah, writes alone.
Really?
I much prefer to write alone or with one or two other people. The way a lot of TV shows are written is it's written in a big group, and, you know, it's 10 or 12 people sitting around a table writing by committee. And I just think that's painful, and it just homogenizes everything and is bad for what you ultimately get. So at my show, we've been working, you know, sometimes we work together with each other, but it's never more than three people together at once. And generally, that's just a matter of rewriting. I think I just don't think you can write scenes with real characters in a group like that, because it becomes too much a matter of getting good lines and people wanting to get the funniest line in. And before you know it, you have a whole page with very funny lines, but none of it seems real.
My guest is Paul Sims, the writer, creator, and executive producer of the sitcom News Radio. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Paul Sims is my guest. He's the creator of the new sitcom News Radio. Now, I understand you grew up in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan?
Yeah, that's right. When I was three, I was born in California. When I was three, my family moved to Pakistan. Then when I was seven, we moved to Saudi Arabia, and I stayed there until high school. My parents were school teachers at American schools overseas.
What I find really remarkable about this is that you grew up so far away from American popular culture, and you've become such a part of it. And the shows that you've worked on are shows, well, particularly Letterman and Chandling, I mean, they're shows that kind of parody all the conventions of television. Were you able to see much American television in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan?
Really, hardly any at all. In Pakistan, I think we had no American television. I think there was a... I remember seeing Star Trek once, and then I remember... And I remember seeing a dress by Benazir Bhutto's father, but it was in Urdu, so I didn't understand it. And in Arabia, it was the same. In Arabia, they had a little more television, but it was sort of from, it was old lousy shows that they'd, bought from America. And it wasn't on, 24 hours a day. I think it was on like 4 or 5 hours at nighttime. So I don't really know how I absorbed all of this. I mean, I read a lot, and I remember wishing I could watch television, and any book I could find about television or anything, I would read.
So how old were you when you moved to the States?
I guess I was about 14 or 15. My parents stayed in Arabia, and I went to a boarding school in California.
So what was it like to watch American TV?
It was very exciting. I remember when we used to come on vacations to the States, my brother and I would be glued to the TV set for the entire, 3 weeks we were here. When I went to boarding school, I was so excited about actually being able to see TV. But then there's, rules at the boarding school that you couldn't have a TV in your room. So there was a TV available. I think it was from 9 o'clock to 10:30 at night. So whatever happened to be on then, you could watch. But a friend of mine got one of those little miniature TVs, though. But I only used it to watch Late Night with David Letterman, which was just starting around then. So I used to watch that under the covers in my little dorm room.
Well, getting back to news radio, sex in the office is one of the big things.
Yes.
Literally sex in the office and relations between people who share an office. But this kind of thing must have been quite a difference to you, having come from Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, where I imagine that isn't a kind of typical office situation.
I think offices are the same wherever you go. Whenever you have a group of people working in the same place, particularly if there's a group of younger people and single people, I think the same situations tend to come up over and over again. One of the most important things I learned growing up overseas is that people, no matter, what country they're from or what customs or what religion they are more similar to each other than they are different from each other. I think a lot is made of the cultural differences between Americans and everyone else. But, it sounds trite and cliche, but people are the same wherever you go.
You're 29 now and have so far been real successful.
Yeah.
Do you worry about the future? Things sometimes don't last that long in Hollywood?
Well, things don't last that long in Hollywood, so that's a given. So I'm trying to enjoy this while it lasts. Part of it is I don't worry about that too much because right now the work is so enjoyable. It's so much fun. It's so much fun having this having my chance to actually, realize this my vision of the show the way I want to. Yeah, things don't last, and, I'm 29 now, 5 years from now I'll be doing something else, and then when I'm around 38 or 39 I won't even be able to get hired on a TV show because things will have changed and I'll be a little too old to be thinking the right way, and, by 42 I'll, have a gun in my mouth. then I'll end up in a hospital, then I'll get all straightened out, then when I'm 45,
at some point your shows will be on in reruns and there will be a revival of your career.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. And
you will
be revered by new people coming into the profession.
Me and George Goober Lindsay of Mayberry RFD will both be together at the autograph conventions. I forgot about that. I forgot that there's a, you know, I think that's also, there's a shorter time span now between the original thing that's popular and its revival as an item of nostalgia, considering now that we're up to the, what is it, 70s now. So now's the 90s. So by the year, I think by the year 2010 or 2007, I should be able to get a lot of money for any kind of old junk, old props from News Radio or something. I think there'll be a big collector's market for that.
Paul Sims is the writer, creator, and executive producer of the sitcom News Radio. It's broadcast Tuesday nights on NBC. This is Fresh Air.